Creepypasta presents Lost in the Woods, written by William Rain. Lost in the Woods was a phrase my father used a lot when I was young. Should we be out in the world and witness someone acting out in any way? That boy's lost in the woods, he'd say, shaking his head in that parental disappointment sort of way, even if they weren't his child. When I reached my early teens, struggling to find my place amongst my peers, "You're lost in the woods, kid," he'd say, in a far more sympathetic and compassionate manner. I endured some hard times over the years while I tried to find where I belonged in the world, but my dad was always there for me, though I wasn't exactly an outdoorsy type. His words were always reassuring me, even if I hoped to never be caught dead in the forest, let alone lost in one.
We would inevitably talk about my problems after he would diagnose my symptoms in his own special way, but I learned to understand how the same saying would read differently, depending on the situation. Even during those last few weeks, he battled against the cancer, devouring him from the inside out. He was too lost in the woods. I like to think that when he passed, when his suffering reached his end, he finally saw what lay beyond the trees. I suppose it was only fitting that it was I drove myself from his funeral that I found myself in a far more literal version of his all-purpose metaphor. Over that time, I became certain I would be joining my old man outside the borders of the forest. So soon after, he made the trip himself. I had not chosen to ride with my mom and stepfather, Dale, as I wanted to be alone with my thoughts. I didn't have a problem with my mother's husband. He'd always treated me well enough. My parents had remained close after the divorce, as they both agreed they were always better friends than lovers.
Dad got along well with his replacements, better than most under such circumstances, but it always felt like Dale tried a little too hard when my old man was around. It may have been nothing more than inherent jealousy a man feels towards his significant other's ex. Maybe he had some insecurities about the situation, but Pop and I would laugh about it when we were alone. I was always tight with my dad, far more so than anyone else in my life with him. With him being the one I would turn to when I needed to talk. I wanted to be alone on this one. I think I needed to. Had I ridden with my mom, Dale would have likely tried his damnedest to get me to talk about how I was feeling, which was not remotely ready to do.
Even when the rain began to pour down from above, I was mostly mentally checked out as I guided my car from one road to the next. The spot at which my dad wanted to be buried was some miles into the next state over, the one he grew up in before relocating back in the day. While the path I traversed that day was somewhat unfamiliar, my subconscious was able to focus on the road while my mind drifted beyond the confines of my old Chevy. I suppose that's why it took me a moment to register the truck ahead of me, sharply veering into the other lane. By the time I noticed, the road had split, opening a wide fissure in the tarmac. I didn't have a chance to miss it. The collision, for lack of a better term, for skidding into a large gap in the pavement, happened so quickly that I was only vaguely aware of what happened before everything went black. The heavy rainfall we had been experiencing off and on for weeks had led to a few of these fissures coming across the state. Be it from poorly maintained roads or simply years of water seeping from the cracks, I couldn't say it. It wasn't exactly my area of expertise or anything.
I remember my dad saying sometime over that previous month or so that the cities would be buried beside him by the time that dust settled. Maybe it was the medication talking, but he feared that hell itself may be reaching through the cracks, stretching its tendrils through the very foundation of reality to claim this world for its own, one stretch of road at a time. When my eyes blinked back to awareness, my dramatic shift in surroundings caught me off guard. At first, while I had been at the helm of my old Chevy when I blacked out, the fact that I found myself laying splayed on the floor of an unfamiliar forest took me a moment to fully grasp. The rain had stopped, leading me to believe I must have been out of it for a while, but when I pressed my palms to the ground to find it wasn't even damp, I began to question my sanity.
"You lost the woods, kid?"
I heard echoing from the back of my mind, as I hesitantly raised from the dirt to trembling and weakened legs. Attempting to rationalize my relocation while I slept, I assumed that someone had pulled me from my likely crumpled car before dragging me in the middle of the woods that stood beside the road I was traversing. Why would anyone do this? I couldn't quite fathom. Maybe, I thought, more cracks opened me up, so someone carried me in here. Perhaps they thought the road wasn't safe, so they dropped me off while they're going for help. Not the most likely rationalization, but I thought it was something. While I gazed around my newfound surroundings, seeking out any indication of which direction would lead me back to the road, I became more aware of the unsettling silence, being the middle of winter, the bare skeletal trees and dead leaves lining the forest floor didn't feel out of place, but could find no evidence of anything else that lives out here.
Glancing upward, the blank and gray sky appeared as lifeless as the world around me. I couldn't even feel a breeze, while I still wore the suit I'd donned for my father's funeral, one that wasn't exactly made for winter weather. I wasn't as chilly as I would have expected. It wasn't warm either, mind you, but everything felt wrong somehow. The colors looked muted in a way. The bark of the trees was an almost sickly grayish brown. The discarded leaves scattered across the ground were more yellowed and diseased looking than what I would have expected. Even the drab sky felt more like a ceiling over the woods than a mass of emptiness, adding a strange sense of claustrophobia to my already scattered senses.
All I could hear was my heart beat against the inner walls of my ears, the clenching beneath my feet when I finally took a step almost caused me to recoil. Being out in the wilderness, surrounded by such emptiness and quiet, was far more unsettling to me than how I ended up here in the first place. I was in a daze while I trudged onward in no particular direction, with only more striped down trees being all I could make out in any direction. I had no way of knowing which potential path would be the right one. Regardless of my uncertainty, I knew I had to keep moving. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I had the strangest sense of urgency assuring me that I must reach the border of this forest as quickly as possible. The scenery remained unchanging, even after I had been walking for what felt like a few hours. At the beginning of my stroll, I fished out my phone in my back pocket, only to see the broken screen and the absence of any backlight or left behind the shattered glass. Given the last thing I remembered before walking into this place was crashing into a dang hole in the world, it wasn't hard to accept that my device had not survived, even if my body was somehow unscathed.
I have no idea how much time had passed when the humming sound began. That's about the best way I can describe it. A hum that started soft, growing steadily louder, as if something was approaching. Had it not been almost suffocating quiet of my surroundings, I likely wouldn't have even noticed it until it engulfed me. That was indeed its intent. For all I knew, the unsettling vibration that accompanied it was something good, something I should approach, rather than run from. Ultimately, I wasted no time deliberating with options, opting to transform my stroll into an outright sprint for my life. With the noise originating from behind me, I could only hope that speeding away from it was the right call. To fully illustrate where my head was at the time, I think I assumed that I had landed in some sort of purgatory, somewhere between life and death after the accident. Being that I saw no sign of the road I had quite literally crashed into, I seemed a reasonable assumption.
With that working theory, that I must escape these woods to reclaim my mortal shell, my immediate fear was that the sound belonged to that which was similar to whatever afterlife awaited me. That was something far more sinister, perhaps intent on leading me to the gates of hell itself. When a subtle mist joined the ambient elevating hum, gently caressing the forest floor beneath my quickly tiring legs, I grew far more certain I had to escape whatever was happening. While I ached from head to toe, something that somewhat contradicted my theory of being absent of living flesh at the time, my frenzied thoughts were interrupted by the ground shifting to a steep downward slant. For the briefest moment, I felt weightless as my feet found nothing to land on, slipping on the dried leaves when they finally did make contact. I was so caught off guard, having been otherwise occupied by both my surroundings and the oncoming storm, for lack of a better term, my mind fought as much as my flailing limbs while I tumbled towards more uncertainty.
If nothing else, when my fall came to an end, with my body splayed out, face down on another unfamiliar bed of dried leaves, the humming vibrations felt further off again. My mind felt to remain conscious as the dizziness of my paced descent caused the world to spin around me, but I could not allow myself to pass out here, not with whatever was pursuing me. As I pushed my palms against the ground, struggling to get somewhat upright before the darkness could swallow me whole, something that most certainly brought my waving consciousness back to my dire circumstances. "Stay down, friend," the stranger, who seemingly appeared out of nowhere, said, pushing me back down by the shoulder. Regardless of his encouragement, I landed here, having completely lost my footing, being surprised by the unexpected touch. "What? Who the—" "Shh," he said, crouching down beside where I now sat. "Just let it drift on by." I followed the gaze back up the steep hill I had tumbled down to see that dense white fog lining the woods above like a cloud, when I had assumed the unusual mist to be something chasing after me. The full weight of that irrational thought didn't sink in until I watched it shift directions some 30 feet above. While it's so thick, I almost resembled an enormous serpentine cotton ball. It had ripples throughout like waves running against the direction of a stream, spiraling endlessly as it hovered in place. It was somewhat confusing to look up upon, the way it jerked one way, with the bizarre rapids flowing backwards, but it was clear that some sort of consciousness guided it. After I pulled to the right and left, swaying this way and that, it finally came to a halt, spinning around and around, as though waiting for something or someone, in this case. While I don't know whether or not I should trust my new companion, his reassuring grip on my shoulder helped me more than I could understand at this time. Though I hadn't looked up at him yet, just having someone by my side after hours of solitude, trudging through this seemingly never-ending forest, encouraged me to remain as still as possible. We both continued to glare upwards, even after the fog began to dissipate, before drifting back the way it came. For some minutes after its retreat, I was scared to move a muscle, even after the stranger let his grip on my shoulder slip free. "Should be okay for now anyway," he said, lifting himself back from the ground. "What was that?" I asked, getting to my feet, finally having the opportunity to take in the appearance of the man. I felt a little more at ease, noticing the uniform he was wearing. It was similar to a police outfit, but one I recognized him as more of a park ranger's garb. I hadn't spent a lot of time in such places over the years, but I was certain that was it. Plus, it fit. Considering our location, he looked a little older than me, thin but in decent shape. He pulled his wide-brimmed hat from his short brown hair, wiping his sweating brow with the back of his forearm. He had a neatly trimmed beard, a few shades darker than his hair, and a couple of inches taller than me. "Nothing you want to get caught up in," he said, placing the hat back in place. "That's a damn fact." He looked back at me, giving me a small smile. I thought then that I noticed that his eyes were almost translucent, sky blue. Though I assumed he was likely wearing some sort of novelty contacts or something, they were almost still mesmerizing. Of course, given the fact that everything around us was so lifeless, drowned, and muted, depressing colors, it may have been nothing more than the stark contrast of something so lively, amid. Everything else appears so lifeless and cold. "Tucker," he said, holding out a hand. "Maxwell Tucker, Ranger Tuck, found these parts." "Nathan Solomon, Nate," I replied, shaking his hand. "Nice to meet you, Nate. Let's get moving, yeah?" The more we talked as we walked onward, continuing in the direction I was going, something I wasn't entirely sure of, considering that my tumble had potentially altered my trajectory, the more I felt comfortable with the guy. His voice had a friendly tone. There was something warm and inviting about it. like I was just chatting with an old friend, rather than someone I had only just met. He spoke of strange occurrences in these woods, woods I had apparently been alongside when the road swallowed up my car. What I didn't want to get into the said strange occurrences, being that I was already freaked out by everything, I still couldn't figure out how I had ended up here, so far from my likely totaled Chevy.
Likely, Ranger Tuck said. It dragged you in here deep into the heart of it. Wouldn't be the first time. It? I mean, it? Who? Folks on here is called the Gray. It seems to enjoy messing with folks. The ones it doesn't finish off right away, anyway. Wait, I said, stopping in place. So some guy screws with people, leaves them for dead, or just straight out kills them? He just tilted his head with a shrug. That's okay, as the police wouldn't do anything about it. You Rangers just let it continue? Some sick guy's loose out there, and you guys. Never said it was a man. It ain't exactly something that fits into normal conversation, you know? Nah, fam. This ain't nothing natural. Sneaking through the cracks. Can't say what it is, but it ain't bound by our laws. Okay, I said, attempting to push aside my disbelief for the time. Why all this then? Why drag me? God knows how far into this place. Only to leave me to wander around. He likes games for whatever reason. Enjoys the hunt, the chase. We've been able to save some, but most end up the same way. Whether it does it right off the bat, or after making them think they got a chance. Suppose it depends on what kind of mood it's in that time. Could be you just got lucky. Lucky? Are you serious? I crashed my car and ended up in the middle of this freaking forest. And dang near broke my legs running from the cloud, which I can't even believe I'm saying with a straight face. What the heck should I feel lucky about? You found me, he said, with a smirk and a wink. So you ready to get out of here? What? Well, I can't say this especially put me at ease. His carefree expression didn't make me feel better about things. Yes, it would seem I was the only one of many to fall victim to the Gray. Whatever the heck that was. But Ranger Tech had seemingly witnessed what this thing was capable of and lived to tell a tale. I had to believe I was in good hands. I still didn't speak much as we plundered onward, but I did feel hopeful that I would see the other side of this, given that neither the accident nor the tumble down the hill left me as beaten and bruised as they could have. Maybe my London competitor was right. Perhaps I was lucky. That's what I began to believe anyway, right before the fear took hold of me once more. Run, Tuck said, having noticed him pushing far before I did. When I grew aware of the humming sound once more, my heart beat quickened faster than my feet at first. Though we did as he demanded, both of us spinning as hard as our legs were capable of. Those smoky tendrils began to wrap around the surroundings, weaving between and around the trees on both sides. It almost felt as though it was making us force forward, rather than allowing us to veer or separate. Don't slow down, the ranger called out, noticing the power behind my strides dwindling. I was doing everything I could to force one leg in front of the other, but then the sound of the thick boughs crackling and splitting reached my ears. It took everything I had to remain upright, let alone continue charging onward. I felt the fingers of my companion wrapping around my wrist as he pulled me alongside him. How he still had so much strength in his extremities, I had no clue, but his encouragement and support succeeded in filling me with more purpose and drive to keep charging toward the hope of freedom. Don't let up, he said. Not so much as glancing from the path ahead, we can make it, just keep pushing. You can rest when we get out of here. Regardless of this determination, the sight of those wispy tentacles now weaving themselves around the trees ahead assured me that our options were running out. As the misty fingers entwined before us, sealing the path ahead shut, we both practically skidded to a halt, falling back to the forest floor. The white smog formed a dense, misty wall in a circle around where he lay, leaving only the ground and sky free of its grasp. It was over. Whatever game it had been playing had reached its conclusion. The time had come for it to claim its prize.
There was nowhere to go, not unless the ranger who already saved me once had a set of wings or a fast-acting shovel he hadn't informed me about. I'm sorry, friend, he said, glancing back at me as we lifted ourselves from the ground, preparing to meet our shattered fate. As the flowing rapids within the ivory smoke continued to spiral around us, I felt my heart racing so quickly I feared I may pass out at any second. While the idea of not being conscious to experience whatever was to happen did not next did not seem an almost welcome sensation. My mind and my body were scattered through the four winds at that point. "It's not your fault, Tucker," I said, attempting to fend off the trembling in my voice. "If it wasn't for you, I'd be dead already." The cylinder of dense fog began to shrink, closing in on us from every angle, stopping its approach only feet from where we stood. "You're not following me," Tuck said, slowly drifting its head all around. It looked as though wispy feet were stepping on from the fog, as though a ghostly army was hidden away within. More mist floated upwards, forming some sort of spiderweb dome around us. Its legs began to trail out, followed by almost translucent bodies. The smoke peeled away between each one like cotton candy being separated. "That ain't what I'm sorry about." As the arms reached from each misty torso, one of them with elongated fingers ready to snatch us from where we stood, my companion moved so quickly my mind hadn't had a chance of understanding what was happening. "I'm sorry, can't go no further without you," he said, gripping my shoulder in his hands. "Just keep running and don't look back." Before I had a chance to protest or otherwise argue against it, I felt my feet lifting from the dried leaves as my body was launched through the gap ahead, tearing through already torn stripes of dense, stringy fog. "Go!" I heard screaming out from the strange wall of wispy energy as a light began to illuminate from within. While I wanted to fight back to free the one who had thrown me to freedom as effortlessly as if he were tossing a towel into a laundry hamper, I wouldn't even know where to start. While the ripples of smoke encased him, the high-pitched shrill squeal that accompanied the vibrant glow turned my hair white. "Go," his almost tortured voice shrieked once more, sounding as though he was experiencing a pain I could barely fathom. Whether it was simply my desire to escape that inspired me to do as he commanded, to get off my and run even harder than I had before, or just that I knew there was nothing I could do to help him. I can't say, but I was ashamed of my actions, nonetheless. Not only had he saved my life twice, but I believe he was sacrificing himself to save me. Given the tortured howl that wailed from behind me as I spinned onward in search of safety, I was certain this was the fate met by those other poor souls who encountered the Grey.
To find out how the story ends, go to www.creepypasta.com/lostinthewoods. But be careful. You might not want to read by yourself.